The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 18th chapter. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you've gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them, Jesus said. This gathering in the name of Jesus has a name. It's the church, the ecclesia, the called out ones. Called and gathered for what? Well, much mischief is afoot in the answers to that question. Some think the church is a social group that gathers for fellowship and mutual support. Others call the church a gathering of prophets on mission to speak truth to power, whatever said power may be. Still others conceive of the church as a social justice institution whose task is to care for the neighbor. Now, I suppose there's probably some truth in all those things, but they are not the reason we gather in Jesus' name. No, the reason we gather in Jesus' name is to hear him speak to us. And how exactly does Jesus speak to us? Well, the answer is through the mouth of someone other than yourself. If you haven't discovered this already, the benefits of talking to yourself reach diminishing returns rather quickly. And that's why Jesus commands there to be two or more people gathered in his name. Our Lord knows we need somebody on the outside of us to speak to us so that we cannot control and cannot manipulate Christ's words spoken to us. In short, we must have a preacher. And I don't mean those wearing a clergy shirt. Everyone who has been given God's word can speak God's word. And with his requirement for a preacher, Jesus puts the lie to the notion of long ranger Christianity. Wrong are those who claim their church is the beauty they observe fishing on the lake, or sitting in a hunting stand, or any other place or activity one might find his or herself on the day of Jesus' resurrection. No. The church is only where God's word is proclaimed by a preacher. So, what then is this preacher to say? Well, the answer is in two words. The first is the word of God's law. The second is God's word of gospel. The law and the gospel preached in that order and never one without the other. Rebuke with the law and then forgive with the gospel. Rebuke and forgive, rebuke and forgive, rebuke and forgive, over and over and over. Jesus calls this the keys to the kingdom, because when God's word of law is preached, sin is bound. And when the gospel is proclaimed, the sinner is loosed. This is what preachers are to say. This is the task of the preacher. This is the reason we gather in Jesus' name. This is the mission of the church. Truly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Jesus promises. And his promise is immensely practical. Just look at his instructions. And though it is far less fun than gossiping, and much more difficult to do, actually, when someone sins, you are to go and rebuke that person with God's law, and then forgive them with the gospel. And if the Holy Spirit gives them ears to hear you, great. But if they're not hearing, then you go with a couple of more preachers, and you rebuke and you forgive the sinner. And if the sinner still isn't hearing, we are not to put them on blast on every social media platform on demand. No, Jesus tells us to treat them like the worst kind of sinner, godless traitor. And what exactly did Jesus do to tax collectors and Gentiles? You guessed it, rebuke and forgive. Well, here we are, and you haven't come all this way for nothing, especially since you could be communing with nature or some other leisurely pursuit. We should do what Jesus commands for those gathered in his name, don't you think? So here goes. I happen to know some things about you, because they're true of me also. Jesus Christ came proclaiming the steadfast love and mercy of God, and you nailed him to a cross. There is no worse sin. Nevertheless, at the command of Jesus the crucified, and by his authority, I forgive you the entirety of your sin. There, I've done it. I've rebuked you, and I've forgiven you. Your sin is bound, and the kingdom of heaven is yours. Mission accomplished for Christ's sake. Amen.